family, a nice house, you know, or to have all the pleasure that we can have in this world, what, and then die and it's over. You know, I started deep thinking about these things and reflecting on my life and the meaning of life and thinking about God, you know. And I was in this prison, I remember, and there was this one inmate there who would be on the prison yard. He would have a Bible like this opened up. He would have a little gathering around him in the open air, in the open yard. And he would be preaching the gospel in the yard. And I started being listening. And God really started speaking to me, you know. This inmate preacher would preach about God and how he is the creator. We are accountable to him. And he is calling a people to himself, and that he has chosen his people even from before the foundation of the world. And I would think to myself, man, is it possible I could be one of those chosen, you know? Because God had brought me through so much. And even before that, people would share the Christ with me and invite me to church. And I would just always turn it away. And I was thinking, as I heard this preacher, man, you know, is it possible that God is calling me? You know? And gets me a little emotional now. But one day, you know, I was in this prison church service chapel, and it is then when it all hit me very heavily. I started just thinking about my past and all the sins that I had committed against God, and thinking about how good God was all those years to me, even though I didn't deserve it. I deserved, you know, the opposite. I could have been gone a long time. I could have been in the gutter. I could have been dead. I could have been doing life in prison right now. Could have been stabbed or shot or paralyzed. But by the grace and mercy of God, I was still here. And it really hit me like, wow, God has been so good to me. And he is calling me and offering mercy, even more mercy and forgiveness of sins. And I thought to myself, what a fool I've been, you know? What a fool to turn my back on this loving Heavenly Father, you know? And I cried out to God. I said, God, if you are willing to forgive me, such a wretch, such a sinner, here I am. Please forgive me. I give you my life. I surrender. And Lord, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. Do whatever you want with my life. And from that moment on, you know, I started experiencing a radical transformation, a radical change in my life. You know, I love what David says in Psalm 40, verses 2 through 3, one of my favorite passages. He says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my heart, even praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and trust in the Lord. And we could all testify to that. Amen. As believers, we have that amazing testimony. And, you know, it is because of all of that, all that God has done, that I feel compelled to tell others about Jesus. I feel compelled, whether it's handing out gospel tracts, preaching to crowds on the streets, or talking to people on a one-on-one basis. That is the reason why I feel compelled to tell other people about Jesus, that if Jesus can change my life, he can change your life. I don't care what you have done, what you've been through. That he, you know, what he done did for me, he could do for you. I don't care who you are, where you come from. Amen? Amen. And I ask the question to you today, what has God done in your life? Where would you be without him? That is the reason you must tell people about Jesus. So if you have your bulletin inserts, fill in the blanks, the main thought today is, I must tell people about Jesus because of what he's done in my life. Now, the Apostle Paul, too, had an amazing testimony. I mean, here we see a man that was so committed on destroying the church of Jesus Christ. He was committed to getting rid of all Christians. You know, he went from house to house. He dragged Christians out of their home to lock them up and get rid of them. Until one day he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus met him on that road and he had a powerful encounter with the Lord Jesus that forever changed his life. You know, and he responded by devoting his whole life to telling other people about Jesus. That is how he responded. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, if you have your Bible, if you have the paperback, with the white cover, it's 814. With the brown cover, it's 817. Page 817, if you have your paperback. Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. Paul gives us some insights on being evangelistically bold. A few insights. Let me read it here. Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. Paul says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So for Paul here gives us five elements of bold evangelism. Number one, for your fill-ins there, number one, prayer. Verse 19, he says, pray for me. Pray also for me that words may be given me. Paul knew the importance of prayer and the importance of depending on prayer. And so that is the first, that's where it starts for us. We should always start with prayer. We should pray for that boldness and realize it doesn't come from us. It's something God gives us. We should pray, God, give me that boldness. I don't have it. Please help me, God. We should pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. In Acts 1:8, Jesus told the disciples, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. We should pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 11:13, Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. It is a promise. We should pray for that power. And it's not just a one-time thing. When, you know, as far as receiving the power of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, we read in Acts it's a continual thing. It continually happened in the disciples' lives as they continued to seek for it, seek the Lord for that. They were continually filled. It's not just a one-time thing, you know. So we need to continually pray for that. We should pray for opportunities. Lord, open doors, Lord, with my neighbors, my coworkers, my classmates. Open doors, open opportunities. Give me opportunities, Lord. Help me to share your word, to share your gospel. We should be sensitive to those open doors, to those opportunities. And we should pray in faith. Amen. Pray in faith. In 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. It's a promise that he hears our prayer and answers it according to his will. And I can guarantee you he'll answer that prayer. If you were to ask me, Horacio, if I prayed that God would give me a mansion and a Mercedes, a brand new Mercedes Benz and a BMW, I wouldn't be able to guarantee that he'll answer that prayer. Amen? Because it's not for everybody. Amen? So some people are blessed like that and some people are not. But I can guarantee you he's going to answer this prayer. Lord, give me boldness to share your gospel. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Give me the power of your spirit to share your word with those that need to hear it. And open up opportunities. I can guarantee you he's going to answer that prayer. Amen. Why do I say that so confidently? Because that is heavily on the heart of Jesus. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. That is the reason, the main reason why he left his throne in heaven. And that is one of the main reasons he left his church here. That we would reach out to those that are lost. That we would be his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece and share the gospel. And number two, dependence on God. Dependence on God. Paul says, pray that whenever I open my mouth, words will be given me. Paul depended on God to act supernaturally in the hearts and lives of those that he shared Christ with. Amen. He didn't depend on his own strength, his own ability, his own understanding or wisdom. He knew that it was God who can change hearts and lives. It wasn't him. It wasn't, his intellectual arguments or whatever. You know, we don't have to have all know it all. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have all kind of Bible knowledge. Ultimately it is God who changes people's hearts and lives, and we need to depend on Him. And although God, God does use us as His instruments and His mouthpiece to share with others, it is His Spirit that does the work in people's hearts and lives. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we need to be dependent on God to work a supernatural work. And, you know, this has really freed things up for me, from feeling that I need to manipulate things. You know, we don't need to manipulate people into the kingdom. Amen. Our part is just sow the seed of the gospel. Just share Christ. Don't try to manipulate. Don't try to get them all. Say this prayer with me. It's not necessary. Sometimes we feel that we need to do that. Amen. That we need to manipulate people to repeat a prayer or something. Our part is to share the gospel, sow the seed. And it is God who does the work. Leave the results to God. Amen. Number three. Communicating the gospel. Communicating the gospel. Paul said, pray that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, in communicating the gospel, it is not necessary for us to be experts or theologians. We don't have to know it all. But it is important for us to understand a few basic truths of the gospel. Certain basic truths of the gospel, and I want to give you five basic gospel truths here. And it begins, first of all, it begins with some bad news, because the gospel has elements of both bad and good news. Amen? And people need to understand first the bad news. And the bad news has to do with our lost condition before God. Without Jesus Christ, we're lost, you know? And people need to understand that first before they can even appreciate the good news, before it can even make sense to them. So it's important for us to communicate the bad news first. I've heard it said, before you can get somebody saved, you got to get them lost. Amen. they got to see that they're lost. Amen. And you speak the truth in love, not in condemning. Amen. You reason with people in love. You know, number one, in your feelings there, all are accountable to God. That can be a scary thought for many people. Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed for man once to die. After this is the judgment. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so there is coming a day of reckoning, a day of separation from the sheep from the goats. We're going to stand before Jesus one day. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. So people need to understand that. Amen. And, you know, it can be a scary thought, you know, and someone might say, you know, well, isn't that preaching fear? Isn't that, you know, trying to instill fear in people? And I would say, yeah, in a sense, yeah. You know, because, you know, it's the Bible, you know. We don't want to sugarcoat it. We don't want to, you know, Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body but can't do no more after that. But rather, I'll show you who to fear. He said, fear him who's able to cast both body and soul in hell. That's who you should fear. And so, that you need to understand. Amen? People need to understand our accountability. Number two, all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 56:3, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. There is none righteous, Romans 3:10 says. No, not even one. We need to understand we have sinned against God. And in dealing with that part of the gospel, I would suggest being specific. And that's why I put there Exodus 1:17, because that's where we see the Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:19, by the law is the knowledge of sin. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is lawlessness, transgression of God's law. And so people need to understand that they've transgressed God's moral law, you know. And it's good for us to be familiar with some of those commandments, especially those that most people can relate to or remember. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You know, these are some commandments we can share with people, you know, because the Bible says most men will proclaim their own goodness. You see, if we just generalize about sin and say, you know, we're all sinners, we've all sinned, a lot of times it doesn't really hit home. Amen? Because, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners. It's not a big deal. But when we start getting specific like Jesus did, Jesus got very specific about sin. When he spoke to the woman at the well, he reasoned with her. He asked her, you know, go call your husband. The woman said, I have no husband. He said, you've said, well, you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one that you're living with right now is not even your husband. You're in fornication, premarital sex. He reasoned with her about her sin. And we need to do the same thing. Amen? In a loving way, not a condemning way, you know. But it is necessary, you know. Jesus was very specific, you know, about sin, you know. Number three, sin brings death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Now, besides physical death, which is a given, we all know if Jesus tarries, we're all going to die, and our body's going to go to the grave. That's physical death. Besides that, the Bible teaches we are spiritually dead, and there is an eternal death, you know, after this life for many. Sin brings spiritual and eternal death. Ephesians 2, verse 1, that it tells us that before we come to Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. People that don't have Jesus, they're dead. They're like walking zombies, basically. You know, they're dead. They're blind by the god of this world, and their sin has blinded them, you know, to the truth of Jesus. And people are spiritually dead, separated from God. Amen. There is a separation, a barrier between people and God when you know before they come to Christ. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save you, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear you. But it is your sin that has made a separation between you and your God, and your sin has hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Amen. And so people need to understand that. Sin brings separation from God if we continue in that sin. And then eternal death. Revelation 20, verse 15. Speaking of the great day of judgment. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from Jesus. And hell is real. Amen. And you know what? We need to reason with people about that too. You know, Jesus, you know, mentioned it so clearly throughout. He described what it's like to warn everyone about it, not to go there. You know, and today, you know, this is something that's being attacked today in many circles, you know, denying the existence of hell, you know, that there's no real consequence to our choices, you know, that there's no such thing. You know, but it's very clear. Amen. The other point, and this is where the good news comes in. Even though we have sinned against God, even though we're accountable to God, there's a day of judgment. You know, this is all the bad news. This is the hardest part to share. This is, you know, it really is, you know, but it's necessary. Amen. But here comes the good news. Jesus died, and your feelings died for our sins. And rose again from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Paul says, for I delivered to you first of all, that which I also heard, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again, according to the scriptures. This is the best news that has ever come to the human race. Amen? This is the heart of the gospel. This is the main part. Amen? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, Romans 5, 8, for God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. When Jesus hung on the cross, he became like a sponge to soak up all the wrath of God that we deserve. All the very hell and torment that we deserve fell upon Jesus when he shed his precious blood. That is why the Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. That sacrifice that he made for us. Amen. And then the last thing here in these feelings, God in communicating the gospel, God requires repentance and faith in Christ. Two things go together. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the first message he preached, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. Repent and believe. Those two things are important and they go together. And without one of those, you know, any one of those two, there is no forgiveness and no salvation. Amen? You can't have one without the other. Repent and believe. Jesus said, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts 3:19, repent therefore, be converted, so that your sin may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is something crucial, important. Repentance is a turning away from sin, a U-turn. You're going in one direction, and you make an about face to Jesus. Amen? You turn from that lifestyle. Isaiah 55:6, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He'll have mercy on him. To our God, he'll abundantly pardon. It's very important. That's a very important part of God's requirement there. Repenting of our sins. And then number two, faith in Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Trust in him with all of your heart. Believe what he did for you on the cross, that he died for you. He rose again the third day. You put your faith and trust in Him and turn from your sins, He will save you. Amen? Those are the two things God requires. In your fill-ins here, number four, I'll make it quick here. Understanding your purpose. Understanding your purpose. Paul says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." An ambassador is someone who goes to a foreign country to represent and speak on behalf of a king, of his king or president. Someone who goes to another country to represent his own king or president or whatnot. And we have been called to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. As we go out and share Christ with others, we are His representatives. We are not pilgrims. We are not of this world, the Bible says. We are foreigners. Amen. We belong to another world, the kingdom of God. We are just passing through, sharing the gospel. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Paul says, we're ambassadors for Jesus, as if though God were pleading through us, you know, to the lost. We implore you, we plead with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled. Make peace with the Lord today. Now is the acceptable time, amen? Today is the day of salvation. So we're His representatives, His ambassadors. And that can give us, you know, encouragement, confidence, you know, that we are representatives of Jesus. Amen? We're not representatives of any earthly king or president. The King of Kings. Amen? Number five, overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. "Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Being afraid is natural, it's expected. Every time I go out, just about every time, I'm afraid. I'm nervous. Amen? Even Paul was afraid. One of the boldest evangelists in the history of time was afraid. He told the Corinthians, "I came to you in weakness and in fear and in trembling," he says. Fear can be a good thing if you allow it to draw you, to bring you to pray, to prayer, to depend on Jesus. It could be a good thing if you allow it to drive you to pray. But it could also be a bad thing if you allow it to paralyze you. Amen? Eventually, when it comes down to it, you're going to have to ignore those fears. Amen? And just step out in faith. Amen? And God will see you through every single time when it comes down to it. Amen? And you know, he says, "I am an ambassador in chains." It's not going to be easy all the time. He was in prison for his faith, in chains. Sometimes we have to go through some hard times sharing the gospel. People won't like what we're saying. You know, we're going to be persecuted sometimes. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. You know, he said, "The world hates me because I declare to it that its works are evil." You know, and so when we start talking about these things that sometimes are hard to swallow, you know, they might not like it. But hey, we did our part. Amen. We sowed the seed. Amen. And we leave it in God's hands. Amen. Closing thought. What opportunities do I have to share my faith with those around me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We just pray that you would help us to apply it and to be sensitive to any opportunity, any open door we may have to share your gospel, your everlasting gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you, Arashia. Boy, didn't he do a great job?
Praise God. Thank you.
There's a man that's in his Bible, right? All that scripture memorization, that's a man that's in his Bible. So thank you, Arashia. We were all blessed by that. Thank you. It was
thank
great.
You.
Yeah. Wonderful. That closes out our service today. If anyone has an offering to give, you know, we don't pass baskets or anything. There's a box in the back. Just slide it in there. Remember, if you need eggs, grab them before you go today. We'll have them over outside the kitchen, and we'll be able to give those out. And we do have snacks and refreshments next door. Don't feel like you got to run out and get home. But I hope as you leave today, you're starting to think, man, look what God's done in my life, and starting to identify people around you that need to hear that same message. All right? I hope you feel empowered and equipped today to do that. So God bless you all. Thanks for being here. That concludes our service. And I do ask that we all clear out of this room to make space for Shoreline Church. So as we talk and whatnot, let's do it next door. All right. Thank you so much.